We read God's word together this Thanksgiving morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David has assembled all of Israel together to coronate his son Solomon and also to receive a freewill offering for the building of the temple. He has charged Solomon that he must do that. In the middle of that assembly, we read in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glycerine stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses with all, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The next four verses will be our text. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thy own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have offered willingly all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. To this point we read God's word. We look into verses 13 through 16 for a few moments. David was standing before a great assembly of God's people as a sea of people gathered on a great day of national thanksgiving. Solomon had been coronated to be king in David's place. The kingdom of Israel was secure. He had arranged for tables, great wooden tables, to be spread out throughout the assembly. And on these tables, offerings were brought. David first, and then the chief of the people, and then all of the people. Sacks filled with gold, baskets and bushels filled with silver coins, piles of brass and of iron, chests filled with precious stones and jewels, all of these things willingly offered for the building of the house of God. David had long ached in his heart that there would be built a temple for the Lord God in Jerusalem. As a little boy, he writes in Psalm 132, verses 6 through 8, that it was known as he was in the field of Ephrathah, it was known by everyone around that this little shepherd boy longed to find a place to build a house for the Lord God. That place, you remember, was revealed to David only just recently before our text. It was revealed to David when the angel of the Lord stood over Jerusalem with his justice and vengeance, slaying. And David built an altar on Mount Moriah out of the threshing floor of Ornan and sacrificed to the Lord. And the angel in that place put up his sword into his sheath. His justice was satisfied in the sacrifice. And David said, there, that's the place. On that mountain where justice was satisfied. God's justice is satisfied. That's the place for worship. And now, with all of this thankfulness in their hearts, David leads the people in prayer. He begins in verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven is thine. Thine is the kingdom, and thou art exalted as head above all. He goes on to confess Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is the power and the might. In thy hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. And then in our text, verse 16, he comes to the focal point. What must be the response in our hearts to all of these things of God's goodness, faithfulness, that we, week after week, are in the place where justice is satisfied? For all of his tender mercies, faithfulness, for all the earthly things and for all the spiritual things, what must be our response? It is this: we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now thank we all our God. It's all brought to one point, and it teaches us that we must live our lives in our families, our lives in our marriages, our lives in every aspect. We must live our life with one thing before us: but thanks be unto God for his faithful saving grace. Are you aware, and I, that everything comes of his hands to you? The riches of his mercy in Christ, but everything? And that everything that he sends, both good and evil, have but one purpose: that he would work in you a deep, resounding thankfulness to him, that you would be in everything you do to the praise of his marvelous grace in Christ Jesus, that the abundant praise, this is 2 Corinthians 4, abundant praise in the church may redound, may thunder unto God. The purpose of our life is to thank him. We say this morning, can we do that? Can we? Can we do such a thing as to thank him? And we confess, no, Lord, we can't do that either. But by thy grace and through the eye of faith. Can we thank him this morning? Can we, back up, different question. Can we have thanks in our hearts acceptable to God this morning without God? Can the nation, can the world have a Thanksgiving Day without God? Can the community in the state of Michigan have a Thanksgiving Day truly, saying that on this day, I listen to Pandora and then the ads come in, on this day, we can all agree that we have stood together against COVID, and as we stay together in our human strength, we're going to lick COVID and we can be thankful? Can we be thankful because perhaps the government is going to give us a stimulus check before Christmas? Can we be thankful if we are selfish, if we are lifted up with the fool's pride? All these things that I have today came by my hand. I'm smarter, I'm better, that's why I have these things. Can we give thanks if we simply say, well, I've been pretty lucky? Is this Thanksgiving acceptable to God? The answer is no. It is an abomination to God. The heart that is bowed before God and says, all things are of thee and to thee and for thee in my life. It has come to me of thy hand and grace, everything. And of thy own we have given thee. There is the heart of thanks. Call your attention to this passage, and let's begin first in basically in verse 13 to see that we have here that thanksgiving is an holy act of worship before God. that David, in the words now, is calling for response. Now, since God is the one who has provided us with all of these things that are before us, things both for body and soul, things for his kingdom, and he has created in us this heart to give, now what must be our response? In effect, the scriptures in that word now are saying, so what must be the response this morning to all the benevolence and to all the magnitude of God's grace and promises to you in his faithfulness? Now, what must be the response? What must be the response, not only today, but on any given day of your life, at any given moment? How must we respond? We must respond to God and to his ways. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee. The word thanks in the Hebrew language, as Hebrew words are often, it is a word that is figurative. That is, the word is referring to an action. And the action that is being referred to is a picture of a man, a woman, or any one of us intentionally going through their day at every moment, going through their house, wherever they are every day, and it's his hand, it's a reference to his hand. And with that hand, he is pointing to everything in his life. He has someone along with him, and he's pointing. You see that in my life? You see this? You see my house? You see my pickup? You see my job? You see my kids? You see my title? You see my baby? You see me in a quarantine? You see me in sickness? You see my child has a broken arm? You see these trials of heart? He goes through his whole life, and that's what we do today. We should be, in a sense, when people are talking to us, they must have a sense that he's preoccupied with something. We must point to everything. And then this word, thanks, is not only the hand pointing to everything in life, but then this word, thanks, refers to that same hand as it is now lifted up to God, pointing to everything in my life, everything, and lifting it up to God in the acknowledgement that it's all ordered, it's all planned, it has all been sent, not by chance, but my God, and it has been sent to me in his wisdom and in his grace, and I thank him. On this day, we take an exhaustive inventory of life, and we lift up our hand, and triumphantly and in humility, we say, it's all of God in his grace to me that I respond with thankfulness. He's my God. And you see, we may not omit anything. That's the point. We may omit nothing. All things, says David, come of thy hand. The Lord has provided. In the beginning of this year, when for COVID, the state, the nation shut down the economy, and we lost our job, and we were afraid what was going to happen. God provided for us. When we wondered, with all the plants in the greenhouse, there'd be no market, God provided for us. When in the beginning of this year, we went to the hospital for serious operations. When we came this year before death, the death of friends, the death of an unborn child, he provided. He provided for you. when we began the school year, wondering, wanting, will we be able to have our school function this year in our high school? He provided. When we came to him with our anxieties and our fears and our personal life, he was faithful. You see, we may not omit anything. We may omit absolutely nothing. Has this today come into your life? Whether it's good or bad, how did it come into your life? Did it come into your life, both good or bad, pleasant or trying? Did it come by chance? Did it come because all things that happen to us are really controlled in something up in the sky? It's like the throwing of dice. It's all by chance. It's by fate. Is that how it came into your life? It was just a bad break. No. All things come of thee, says David, from thy hand. And it is all working according to God's power, his wisdom, and his grace, a perfect way. It is working God's purpose. That's the scriptures. That's the truth. Job chapter 1, verse 20 is in the Bible. He lost 10 children. He lost all his possessions. He was covered with boils, and his wife told him he should just cuss God and die. And instead, he bowed to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of my God." And then note with me that the text tells us that our thankfulness must also be with praise. "Now therefore," verse 13, "our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." So this hand that is lifted in thanks is a hand that is intending to praise God. And as we read the Psalms this morning, we saw that thanksgiving and praise are married together. They are Siamese twins. You cannot separate them and have the other one live. If there's thanksgiving, then there must also be praise. In other words, the thanksgiving does not arise from a grudging heart, a cold heart, an indifferent heart to God, but in a heart that wants to praise him in everything that we have. Praise means I want to thank him in Christ Jesus. Praise means that it's not like our thanksgiving today is not like the toothpaste in your hand this morning that you had to squeeze it before it would come out. But praise is like the 2-liter bottle of Coke or Mountain Dew that you'll have today, and as if you would take that 2-liter and you shake it, and then you twist off the tap, and it would come out. That's praise. An open heart. We thank thee, and we praise thy glorious name. There's the focus. God. Certainly in what he gives us, but the focus of our thanks is God. How can we thank him? Thy glorious name. When you know him in all of his majesty, perfect, wise, and good. I talked to you a while back about the sign that I saw in South Carolina. It said, "No, Jesus. No, peace." And then underneath it, it said, "No, K-N-O-W, to know, no Jesus, no peace. We could make our own sign today. N-O, God, no God, no thanks. K-N-O-W, no God, no thanks. David goes on in his prayer, in our text, to show the heart that will give such thanks in all things. A heart that both in death and trial, hardship, happiness, will praise him and give him thanks. We see three things in that heart. It is first the heart, the thankful heart this morning is an amazed heart. It's a dumbfounded heart. It's a bewildered heart. It's the heart that says, I can't get my mind around this. Verse 14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? David was, his thankfulness proceeded from a heart of amazement because he was aware of his unworthiness of the least of God's mercy, and that unworthiness he felt before God, even as God had so abundantly blessed him. And that was his conundrum. That was his amazement. Why would he do that? And when he says here, but who am I and what is my people, he's not only referring outwardly and in the earthly sense, he does refer to that. He's saying, I was a shepherd. I didn't descend from any kings. Who am I to be made king over Israel? He said that to God in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto to be the throne? And this was a small thing in thy sight, O Lord, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Lord, men don't pick like you. They don't pick a nobody. They look for earthly majesty. Men don't bless like you. They bless those who they think are worthy. You've blessed me. And you see, it's not just his humble beginnings, but it's his understanding of his own sin, even as, just before this history again, as an old man, he had committed those dreadful sins of murder and adultery when pride ruled in his heart as an old man. Who am I, Lord? I responded to this grace that you have shown to me, and I responded horribly. And yet thou hast blessed me and given me these things. Thankfulness proceeds from a heart that says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let me put that negatively. Proud people don't give thanks. Proud people say, what do I have to give thanks for with all these problems? Proud people say, I deserve this. I have this coming. It's not fair that I should have to go through this. It's not fair to me. they don't give thanks. But thankfulness arises from a heart that is amazed at God's mercy to me. Number two, thankfulness arises from a heart that is made willing. And that's something that David, the Holy Spirit, continually emphasizes in the passage, that word willingly. It came from hearts that, as I said, the bottle of Coke had to, because of what God had worked in the soul, and therefore willingly had to express this thanksgiving to God. So he says, "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" And as I said, that's the word that is emphasized in the passage. Verse 6, they all offered willingly. The people offered willingly. And again in verse 17, they offered willingly. And David offered willingly. And that's amazement. But it's also the work of God's grace that he makes us desirous, willing. We want to thank him. That's a thankful heart. By God's grace, it cannot be silent. And then that applied also to what was offered in the service of God in the building of his house, but what was offered not to be kept in my own possession, so to speak. I'm thankful for what God has given to me, but it was offered willingly for the service of the Lord. And it was not offered grudgingly. It was not offered because, well, it's expected of me to contribute. That wasn't the reason it was offered. But it was offered willingly in the amounts. What determined the amounts? In proportion to our understanding of his grace. I say again, thanksgiving, true thanksgiving is not something you squeeze out. It's something that comes when we are aware of what God has done. They offered willingly diamonds, rubies, gold, silver, precious metals, marble floors to the use of the Lord. Our thankfulness stands in relation to our use of the earthly things. Our thankfulness to God is seen in our use of the earthly things God has given to us. By nature, I would say that grace opens our hands, opens our hearts. By nature, we express what we think about the things that God gave to us with our hand. Mine. Today, in our homes, with our children and our little grandchildren, we're going to see the little 3-year-old boy, the 2-year-old boy, playing with cars. And then perhaps the 6-year-old cousin come along and take that car. And we're going to see that little 3-year-older go after him. And he's going to say, "Mine! Give it to me!" And we are like that little child. But grace says, "It's not mine. The Lord has given it to me to use for his glory." Thanksgiving is willingly offered because of grace. And finally, this heart is humble It's amazed, it's willing, it's humble. David says, of thy own, for all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. Of thy own have we given thee. And then he wants to underscore that. He says it again in verse 16. It all comes of thy hand, and all is thy own. And then he says in verse 15, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all of our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. That doesn't simply mean the truth that we are all passing away and that our life is short, but his point is that we don't own these things. Verse 16, if we own them, if they were ours, we would take them with us. If we had any ownership, we would take it with us when we die. But we don't, because they're not ours. We don't own. We do not own one thing on this earth. What we own by his grace is the inheritance of riches in heaven. That we have by a gift of his grace. Of thy own have we given thee. That means that ownership of what God has given to us has not been transferred to us. Go through the whole house, go through everything, point your hand to it. Of thy own hast thou given to me. Nowhere in the Bible do you read that God has transferred the title of so much as an inch of this earth to anybody other than himself. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Of thy own hast thou given to me. We give thee but thy own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. I noticed when we were collecting in the narthex in those weeks that fathers would come by the baskets, collection baskets, with their little children and have them put that in. And that was good because they were teaching them. They wanted to teach the principle of worship. I see that also when the collection plates are passed, that you give a dollar, a quarter to your child for them to put into the collection plate. You put it in their hand, and then they put it in. That's exactly what everybody did. God put it in your hand. Riches come of him, and you put it. We gave him but his own. A gift, O Lord, from thee. Today, if we're in a family, with our little toddler in the wheelchair, in the high chair, or if they are now on a seat you put on and they're up to the table, they're going to eat with us, the 2 and 3 year olds, and then just about when dinner's done, you're going to look over and you say, he hasn't touched anything on the plate. And then you're going to take the spoon into the potatoes and say, open your mouth. And here's some cranberry jello. Open your mouth. And you're going to put the food in his mouth, in their mouth. But it's no different. Everything on that table, down to the crumbs, that you sweep was given to you of God. And the ability for it to nourish you is of God. We give thee but thy own. Every skill, every ability, every lack of skill, two legs or a wheelchair, a clear mind or a mind that is not as intelligent, whatever it is, God has given you something and it's good. You might not think so, the world might not think so, it is good. And why did he give it to you? Whether with two legs or a wheelchair, whether with a lot of abilities or just a few abilities, it makes no difference. He gave you to use it. To use it. To thank him in his service. So now thanksgiving, we are ready to define. The grace of thanksgiving is to return to God with joy what he has entrusted to me, and to return it to him in the service of God. The grace of thanksgiving is to return with joy whatever it is the Lord has given in service to him. What has he given you and me? Many, many good things. Many hard things. Lift it up with joy and return it to him by using it in his service. Both good and evil, both hardship and pleasantness, both happiness and sorrow, both death, cancer, and life. This glorifies him. This is the purpose for which we have been saved, that we should show forth the glory and praise of his grace in everything we do. And nothing so shows that grace as with heart and hand and voice, always and in everything, we give thanks to him for his mercy endureth forever. God grant that. Amen. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we have paused on this day to hear thy word. We pray that we may go forward today and always reminded that our chief calling on earth as pilgrim strangers is to thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.